Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Before I saw this house for the first time, the realtor said to me, "It's the kind of house people either love or they hate." At the time, I didn't understand that. I was raised in a suburb of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and to me, houses were, well, you know, they were city houses. They were suburban, urban houses. And they were built on land. I suppose that seems obvious to the point that it seems stupid for me to even mention that, but when I saw this house, which I immediately did love, I knew that I was seeing, probably for one of the few times in my life, a house that was somehow part of the land. And I'm sure a lot of this was because it was old, and I could see why some people would hate it. I mean, there isn't a square corner in the place. And the posts and the beams are rough-hewn. They catch dust. I mentioned before in other podcasts that we're kind of at one with the earth here. There are critters that come and go. It's not even a colonial house. The basement of the house predates the colonial era, and possibly even the Native American era. So it's a funky little house. A funky little house that's at one with nature and maybe in some ways seems more like something that came out of the mind of Walt Disney than any architect. But it's the kind of place you either love or you hate. I was thinking about my little house this past week when I talked to a client whose bitch had given birth to pups and she was acting very strange. She seemed disinterested in the puppies, and the puppies were obviously having problems. There were multiple factors involved in this situation, but the one I want to meander about was the matter of housing. The owner of this dog provided her with the best of everything. Spick and span whelping box and room all of her own. Everything pristine, clean, top of the line, state-of-the-art technology. The owner was prepared for anything, because she wanted her dog to have the best. The dog had dug herself a den at the base of an old tree stump. And she worked at it and she worked at it. And I'm sure she thought it was a lovely place. But it was deemed too lowly, too exposed, and all of those horrible things out there, wild animals, the night, the cold, critters, dirt, mold, moss, rotten wood. Oh, a veterinarian's nightmare. No light. What if something went wrong? So, of course, the den in the tree stump was a non-starter. It wasn't going to happen. And so here we are, coming up on 2 weeks, and the bitch doesn't want to spend much time with her puppies. And the puppies are hurting. And they learn very quickly, even before their eyes and ears are open, that their mom isn't interested in them. And so they huddle with each other. And they're sucking on each other for comfort. They're getting plenty of nourishment, but they're not getting comfort. We talked about it. We talked about all the different variables, looked at it from the physiology of it, the medical side of it. And then one of the things I told her to do was to make that dog a cave. Give that dog some privacy, because that's what she wanted. But I also knew from when Frick had her puppies that that's what dogs do, given their choice. They will not choose some big, sterile, whelping box in the middle of a brightly lit room, exposed on all four sides. No. Ask anyone. They go into what we consider the worst places. The back of the grungiest closet. Burrow under the covers of the bed, for Pete's sake. How gross. How unsanitary. How can we ever help them? I mean, the light. There's no light in there. It's terrible. And God only knows what's in the back of that closet. But my client's a smart woman. And above all, she cares about her dog. And she's also, quite unlike me, a very, very talented seamstress. So she built her dog a cave. The whelping box went out. She took an X-pen, she covered the X-pen. She made a cave. And no sooner did she have it set up than the dog went in. And the puppies with her. And she's been with the puppies every day, ever since. And sometimes that's what happens. We get so involved in our perfectly square corners, our sterile environment, everything just the way we put it. Everything for our convenience. That we forget. We forget that there's something else that's even more important. The sense of belonging, the sense of being part of nature. If that dog had had her pups out there under the tree stump, not that I'm advocating this, but it would have been a completely different world. And one of the things that my client has discovered, she's discovered the stars walking out there with her dog and looking up, and this is the time of year, and it's mid-September when I'm recording this, when on a moonless night, the stars are absolutely incredible. And so she's discovering these with her dog. And it reminded me about something I learned about baby birds. Baby birds who belong to migrating species, when they're sitting in their nests in the summer, at night they look up and they study the stars. And they study the stars because they use celestial navigation to find their way home. And I thought about that. I thought about all of our sterile environments, our square corners, our white whites, our easily washed and disinfected walls and counters and instruments and hands. What are the signals? What are the landmarks? What are the sky marks? What are the soul marks? Animals born into such environments can use to find their way home.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.